All right, with the Massachusetts Senate Minority Leader now, Senator Bruce Tarr from Gloucester. And Senator, here we are again. First of all, welcome back to MSO.
Well, thanks, Rick. It's always good to be on MSO.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. And let's start with the number one priority. I go to your website, tartalk.com, every day and glean information from that. You are getting out so much information to people. And unlike social media, this is coming from the real sources.
And that's important, Rick, because there's so many things out there right now, and we've been particularly frustrated with some of the rumors that seem to be perpetuated on a cyclical basis. So we really want folks to get good and reliable information, and there's no shortage of it. And in fact, Rick, one of the challenges that we've had for our office is to get out all the information that we get and to do it in a way that hopefully it's digestible for people, because I've also become concerned about overload with information. And so we're trying to do the best we can to strike that balance of providing folks with information they need and information that's digestible versus sending every conceivable thing that we're in receipt of, because that would probably break their computer.
Well, that's a good point, Senator. I appreciate that. The other thing is, I notice talking about getting out information in a timely and reasonable, understandable fashion, you are on North Shore 104.9 frequently. Maybe you could mention that.
Sure. And Rick, I also want to mention that on social media, you can find us on Facebook and also on Twitter. And one of the many things that we're doing is actually streaming live the governor's press conferences every day. And they've been happening at different times, but when he is doing them, you can find them on our social media. It's not on Tartalk. It's the one of our three vehicles that it's not on, but it is on the other two.
Okay.
And the other thing, and I know you're familiar with this because you're very well attuned to what happens on the North Shore, is that we do have broadcast radio in the form of North Shore 104.9. It's a great community radio station, and I have been, for a while now, doing a segment for them every single day. It usually begins around 9:15 or 9:20, depending on what's happening that day, and runs pretty much until 10 o'clock. And fortunately, I've been able to have a lot of great guests. So Don Siriani, who is our communications director here on my staff, has been helping us work to have some fantastic people. And the focus of those guests are different ways that the coronavirus is touching us. So today, for instance, we had Police Chief Russ Stevens from the Hamilton Police Department, also in his representative capacity as the immediate past president of the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police. And we've had Peggy Hegarty-Steck on from Action Incorporated, and Julie LaFontaine from the Open Door, and Mayor Safafia Romeo-Taken, and a number of my legislative colleagues. So we're doing our best, Rick, to give people an understanding that there are so many good people in our region working to address the many facets of the crisis that we face, and to allow them to have a little bit of a dialogue with them vicariously through the radio show.
Oh, there's so much to talk about, so little time, and I appreciate that, Senator, and we will post that. Today, I mean, the latest today, one thing I've noticed is that everybody from Governor Baker right on down to selectmen and city councils are continuing to repeat the message about social distancing and about washing and about trying to flatten the curve. But there's also new stuff that goes on, and I just wonder what the priorities are, let's say, today on this Friday.
So let me offer you first some information, Rick, that I think might be helpful to put this in context. There is a COVID-19 command center that is run by Secretary of Health and Human Services Mary Lou Sutters, who has actually been a good partner to us on Cape Ann and has visited quite frequently. But one of the things they're doing is modeling what this outbreak will look like, because we know we're approaching a surge, and obviously folks are apprehensive about that. So yesterday they released some information that we can expect the surge sometime between April 10th and 20th. Now, that's not perfect information. It is a model, and we don't know exactly, but it gives us a good time frame, and that the number of confirmed cases ultimately could reach anywhere between 47,000 to 172,000. And so that is about 0.7% of our entire population on the low end and 2.5% of our population on the high end. And then, sadly, the fatality rate in Massachusetts, it's currently lower than other places, but it is still approximately 1.5% of those infected. So those are numbers to think about and reflect on in terms of the seriousness of what we're facing. And that's why, Rick, things have to be done to increase the flattening of that curve that you mentioned. And so one of them is that as of noontime today, the parking lots at all state beaches are being closed, because that's been a place where, unfortunately, on weekends, there has been too much aggregation in terms of people and not enough social distancing.
Wow.
So that's happening at the state beaches and some of the state parks as well. But to its credit, the Baker-Pletto administration is working to make sure that not every state park is being closed, so that there are still outlets for people, and they're trying to manage it so that there's still a place to go, but not so much so that everyone is focused into one or two parks, where unfortunately that could be a fertile environment for the transmission of the disease.
Yeah, that makes sense. Last time we talked, Senator, you were talking about getting PPEs to those who need them, and you know, obviously the big headline was aircraft bringing in all those masks. What is the latest from Beacon Hill?
So a couple of exciting things. Number one, we saw the sourcing from China yesterday that was done, and also that in part was facilitated by Gene Hartigan, who is someone that we oftentimes work on projects with, and it was great to see that team come together with Bob Kraft and Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Pletto. So about a million masks coming into the Commonwealth through that, Rick, and some of those going to our neighbors in New York who are in a desperate situation. And Governor Cuomo, who's doing such a good job of leading the effort there to respond to COVID-19, prevailed upon other states for help, and from Massachusetts, he's getting it. You know, it might be one thing on the football field or on the baseball diamond to be competitors, but when it comes to public health, we need not be competitors. So that was very heartening to see. But along with that, there was a piece of information that may not have gotten the attention that the masks did. And I think in the long run, this is going to be also an extremely important element of the response to the pandemic. And that is, there's a system known as a Battelle system, and Battelle is a defense contractor, that can actually sanitize the masks, and particularly the N95 masks that the folks who are on the front end of the healthcare system are using in the front lines. And that system is now going to be stood up in Massachusetts, and we're one of only four states to have that system, and it can actually sanitize up to 80,000 masks a day.
Wow.
So masks are coming in from places like China through the extraordinary effort that we saw yesterday, but also we are developing capacity to sanitize those masks, which leverages the amount we have exponentially. So very, very positive things that are happening. And part of what we've been doing, and we've talked about this in the past, Rick, is on the part of the Senate, we are organized into working groups on different subjects. And the working group that I'm leading is on supply chain issues. And so we've been working with the command center to try to identify leads and provide them leads where they might be able to source additional material. And in fact, yesterday, Mayor Romeo Taken provided us with a lead that was passed on to the command center. So we are continually getting information about where we might be able to source additional materials. But as we've also talked about in the past, it takes a lot of work to verify that those offers are real. And one of the things that's important is now there are portals that have been set up, website portals, so that folks can provide that information directly to the command center. And so we'll share that with you, and you might be able to provide that information over the air and on your website so that folks know that this is an ongoing effort, and we need to try to source these things everywhere we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to be wary that not every offer is real,
mm-hmm.
and not every purchase order results in delivery.
Sure. We'll pass on anything that you want to mention. And, you know, Senator, I know that, you know, safety, health is the number one priority, the safety of citizens. But also there's the financial factor, there's the welfare factor of in terms of the welfare of families. And I know that, you know, the State House, your administration and so on is also working on that aspect. And I'm guessing that takes up a lot of time as well.
Well, it does, and in fact, there are three staff people in my office who are spending almost all of their days helping people with unemployment insurance issues, Peter Cosenza and Vicky Morey and Jennifer McCullough, and they are extremely capable, and they've been helping people try to get to the benefit stream that is currently available for unemployment insurance. But here's an important point, Rick, that there are folks that have been traditionally eligible for unemployment insurance, and they can apply now, and if they have problems, they can call us or email us. But there's also a new category of folks that are going to be eligible that have not been eligible before. And those are folks that are independent contractors, or they're self-employed, or they're 1099 employees. And under the Federal CARES Act that was passed just a short while ago, they are now eligible for unemployment insurance. But here's the important point. In order for those benefits to become available, we have to tell the federal government, the U.S. Department of Labor, how we're going to make them available, what program we're going to use. And as we speak, the state government is working with the federal government to reach that agreement and so that we can unlock the benefits. They're not yet available, but they will be soon. And when they are, we want to encourage people to apply for them as well in the manner that's directed by our state Department of Labor and Workforce Development. But right now, that isn't the case. So people may be reading, and particularly I believe in the Gloucester Times today, there's the good news that's being reported about the fact not only that the CARES Act passed, but that guidance is being given for the states about how to administer these benefits. So I want to make sure people know we're almost there, but we're not quite there yet. And as soon as we are, Rick, we're going to tell you, and we want you to broadcast that as loudly and as extensively as possible.
We will do that. You know we will. You know, we don't have any football or baseball to broadcast right now, so we're happy to do that, Senator. Finally, my last question is compliance. Are you finding, particularly on the North Shore, that pretty much communities, cities, residents, governments, whatever, are in compliance with Governor Baker's edicts?
I think for the most part they are. There are still some concerning situations, and for instance, Rick, last weekend on Cape Ann we heard about a lot of folks that were, again, aggregating at the beaches, maybe on the boulevard, and maybe forgetting just a little bit about how social distancing is important in every context. So for the most part, I think they are, but, you know, just a reminder to folks, we want you to get out, we want you to walk the boulevard, we want you to go to the parks that are available and the ones that haven't been closed. But when you are out recreating, sometimes we don't want to think about serious things like public health and pandemics, but when you're out recreating, the requirement and the advisability of social distancing doesn't go away. So we want to remind folks to do that. But I really have been proud and impressed by what I've seen most people doing. It is really heartening, and it really is, Rick, part of our social contract with each other, that we all need to take care of each other, we all need to protect each other, and this isn't just a passive obligation where we watch information on TV. This is for all of us to say, I'm going to do what's within my power to do, which is to social distance. And also something else, Rick, that I think is very important, and that is to remember that we are in a time of extremely high anxiety, and we need to worry about the mental health of ourselves and our neighbors. And it's unusual for us to have this kind of forced separation, this kind of isolation. So it's good to use social media to pick up the telephone and talk to folks and to say, hey, I'm thinking about you today. How are you doing? Because we are heading into a surge in terms of this pandemic, and we want to make sure that everybody knows that there's somebody out there that's thinking about them, that's caring about them, and just a phone call or an email or a contact through social media, that can make such an incredible difference.
Senator Bruce Tarr, you're one of the hardest working men I've ever known in my life, and we are very fortunate to have you working for us here on the North Shore, and I say that with no fear of anybody arguing against me, and if that's a political statement, so be it, but I thank you so much for your time, and please be safe, and I know you do the right thing.
Well, you know, thank you, Rick, and I want to take this opportunity, and I hope you'll indulge me for just a moment, but I believe that it was former educator in Gloucester, Ralph B. O'Malley, who said that a teacher can never know where their influence ends. And I want folks to know that that is so true. You were a great educator in the city of Gloucester. You taught me. You were a mentor to me. And the influence that you had on me is manifesting itself today in the public service that I'm able to give. So teachers, we should always respect them. We should always appreciate them. But right back at you, Rick, your influence has gone a long way for a lot of people in the community, and I'm one of them.
That is State Senator Bruce Tarr with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.